Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Fulfill God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
Let's look in Romans chapter 1 again. I started with this last night. And I've been teaching all of this week. How many of you, this is the first service you've made this week here in Chicago? Could I see your hands? Man, there's still a lot of you. It's probably over 100 people. I've been teaching. This is actually a continuation of two previous Gospel Truth seminars. I taught in Orlando on how to find God's will. Then I taught in Atlanta on how to follow God's will. And now we're talking about how to fulfill. And this is talking about supposing that you already have found God's will, you've been following Him. But now, how do you keep your focus? How do you finish your course? How do you cross the finish line? There's a lot of people that start well, but they don't end well. Matter of fact, I would say the majority of people start, but very few finish their course. Most people finish in a whimper instead of a winner. And man, we need to finish our course, not just for our sake, but for the sake of other people. So that's what I've been talking about. And on Thursday night, I talked about obedience, how you have to learn to obey. And I used Elijah as an example of that, shared some really powerful things about how important it is to just do and live with a clear conscience, not have anything in your life that God has spoken to you that you aren't doing or in the process of doing. Then we talked on yesterday morning about patience, that patience is faith over a prolonged period of time. And it comes by looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And I used two negative examples. Peter, who started walking on water, but as he got near the end, he was within one arm's reach of Jesus. He took his eyes off of Jesus and began to look at the wind and the waves, and he started to sink. And then I took the example of Elijah, who had done all of these great things, and yet got to thinking it was him that had done it. He got carried away with himself. And he says, I am not better than any other person. He never was better than any other person. It wasn't him that was doing it. It was God's power in him. And he got lifted up with pride and he fell into destruction. And so I was talking about how that you have to maintain that focus. Last night I started with these verses. And in Romans, it talks about how that every person at one time had an intuitive revelation of God on the inside of him. You're going to hear a lot of people say things contrary to that. And many people today will say, oh, no, they have no conviction of God. And it's said so often that many people, even many Christians, don't believe these verses. But I tell you, I have seen that God's word is true. And people in Vietnam who said there was no God, when the bullets got to flying, all of them cried out to this God they didn't believe in. The truth is, everybody has had an intuitive revelation of even God's eternal power and Godhead so that they're without excuse. But then Romans chapter 1 begins to start showing that even though that's true and that is there in every person, you can deaden yourself to it. You can deny it. You can walk away from it. And so what I started doing was showing the four steps listed in Romans 1:21 that a person takes to desensitize themselves to this inner voice that God has placed on the inside of every person. And I'm turning it around and saying that if we can do the opposite of this, then it keeps you from ever getting off track. If these things are what causes a person to lose their sensitivity to God, then do the opposite of it. And you can keep sensitive to God. You don't have to lose your joy and your relationship with God. Our relationship with God should get better over time. We should get stronger and stronger and stronger in the Lord. It shouldn't be something that loses its potency with time. And yet the average Christian's experience is that they have God touch them and then they lose it. I have people all of the time that come to me and say, man, they were just so touched at these meetings. And then they go back home and they get around people who criticize them and tell them, oh, this stuff is all wrong and you're a fanatic and you've gone overboard and on and on and on. And people tend to lose their excitement and their zeal about the Lord. It shouldn't be that way. So what I was sharing last night, the first step that he lists right here in verse 21, it says they didn't glorify him as God. And that means to place value on, to magnify. to put worth on the things of God. And see, when people leave and then you get around people who criticize you, and if it's family members or if it's people that you work with, you want their approval and you value their approval. So what tends to happen is we put glory and worth and value on God when we're around people like this and hearing the preaching of the word. But then you get around other unbelievers or other people that don't value the word and you want their approval, and you tend to start valuing their opinion. And what happens is the value, the glory you placed on what God spoke to you diminishes. And after a period of time, you've lost it. And so, man, that is important. I could preach that all over again. But I pray that you let the Holy Spirit speak that to you, because that is really important. And that's exactly what's happening to us. Satan has millions of people available, and I can guarantee you get touched at this meeting on Monday morning. He has plenty of people that he can push their button, and they just come around and they just choose to dump on you. They're going to focus on you, just take you out of a crowd, and you'll think, well, why is all of this happening to me? And you don't even recognize that afflictions and persecutions come for the word's sake, is what it says in Mark chapter 4. Satan orchestrates people. Your dog will bite you. He just has things. Satan has plenty of people and things available that he can send around, and he will do things to take your value off of God and get you to thinking about all of these other things. And this is probably one of the number one ways that Satan gets people so that they don't maintain it. Some of you have been so built up and fired up, and man, you're ready to go back and charge hell with a water pistol right now. But how do you maintain that focus? How do you maintain this intensity? I'm telling you how you do it. You just put glory and worth on the Lord. And then look at the second thing here in Romans 1:21. It says, first of all, they didn't glorify him as God, neither were thankful. And these things really all work together. For the purpose of discussion, we can separate them into separate things. But really, this is just kind of a lifestyle of how to seek God and put God first in your life. You can't really separate them, but for the purpose of discussion, you first of all have to put worth and value on what God has done, and just focus on that, and relative to God, everything else and every other person is nothing. That's easy to say, harder to do. But many Christians are so codependent upon, they've got to get the approval of their mate. They've got to have their church sanction them. They've got to have their family. Some people are codependent upon their family. And if their family doesn't validate what they're doing, they just couldn't go off and suffer the rejection and the loss of their family. Man, Jesus said, any man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back and counts his family, father, mother, brother, or sister more than me, if you love them more than me, you aren't worthy of me. We've got a lot of people that don't have that degree of commitment, and that's the reason you can't maintain your focus, and that you get sidetracked and you're up and down like a yo-yo, is because you value other things. And so the second thing he mentions here is that you've got to be thankful. Look over in Psalms chapter 69 at this passage of Scripture. This is Jesus speaking. I hadn't got time to prove that to you. But if you will study Psalms chapter 69, there's about four or five quotations from Psalms chapter 69 that Jesus spoke on the cross. And this is a prophetic psalm. And he is saying, like for instance, in verse 21, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. In verse 8 it says, I am become a stranger unto my brethren in a alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. That was quoted by Jesus in the New Testament, and he said this is a fulfillment. Jesus spoke this. It was through David. This is hundreds of years before Jesus came to the earth, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, this is Jesus speaking. And let's go down to verse 30. He says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. If you were here last night, I showed that the exact word, the same Greek word that was translated glorify in Romans 1:21, was also translated magnify in Romans, what was that? 11:13, it's the same word. And so I was using the fact that to glorify also means to magnify. And Jesus here said, I will magnify him with thanksgiving. You know how you make God look bigger? How you make healing look bigger than sickness? How you make prosperity look bigger than poverty? How you make acceptance look bigger than the rejection that you do? You know how you do it? You thank God. You thank him and you magnify God with thanksgiving is what these verses say. When you start being thankful and going back and rehearsing your victories, it makes God get bigger in your life. It puts more glory, more worth, more value on him. Man, that is a powerful, powerful truth. And if that's true, which it is, then we ought to be a thankful people. We ought to go back and rehearse our victories. You know, I've got so many things I'd love to bring into bear. I'll just say this quickly. But this is the reason that there's a number of scriptures in the Old Testament that gave a command not to take away your neighbor's landmark. Like, for instance, Samuel raised a stone and called it Ebenezer, which means God is our help, because they won a great victory. And he put a landmark there so that every time people walked by, they would be reminded of the victory that God wrought over the Amalekites. And he put this thing there. And we are supposed to have landmarks in our life. You know, I had a situation where just the month before we began taping for our television, I was working on a trail at my house and I did something stupid. I won't take the time to tell you all of it. It is really stupid. And I had this boulder that's about, I don't know, it's that high. It's probably 1,000, 2,000 pounds. Roll over my head. I fell and that thing rolled down my arm and bounced on my head. This huge boulder. It should have killed me. Jamie said that when it hit my head, she knew I'd be all right.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled How to Fulfill God's Will. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1068C for CD or R3212D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU20 titled Thankfulness when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
This is Andrew Womack, and I'd like to invite you to join me as a partner of our Gospel Truth ministry. You know, we are reaching the world not only through radio, but also television, DVDs, books, CDs, just every way that we possibly can. We have Bible schools scattered around the world. We are preaching the gospel literally around the world. Over 2.2 billion people can get our broadcast and our materials. And it just takes a lot of money to make all of that happen. So I'd like to invite you to join with me on a monthly basis as our partner. Our announcer is going to give you some information, and I encourage you to pray about it and then call or write today and become a partner with the Gospel Truth.